Responsible for financial. was a phenomenon and also for a grouping of national departments, which we refer to as national meeting.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Barry Maggot, National Leader for Internal Operations for the Federal Office.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Suleiman Bedat, responsible for the Federal Office.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Sergio Navarito, Senator Executive, responsible for the Constitutional Office.
Good morning, Chair, morning, members. My name is Alex Miller. I'm responsible for the two provinces, the Falco and Free State, as well as for the National Unit. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mala Hatebe. I'm the Head of Communications at the HSA.
Good morning. My name is Paulie Sokowa. I'm responsible for two provinces, Western Cape and Northern Cape, and also good small portfolios within a business unit called Ms. Nazi.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. Sean Bush Compact, I'm corporate executive. I'm responsible for the Eastern Cape province and still our national group in the National Media Center.
Thank you very much, honourable
members. Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the HGSA officials. My name is Tim Bradford, and I'm a member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Kyle Dillon, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Jerry.
Morning, my name is Sakike Kana, I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Nkula Wate, I'm a member of the committee.
People
Also, we have included in the presentation material and shared with all the parties Carol Campbell, which is connected with the name attached to each of the two divisions that we all set. The type of the outcome that is reached in the current areas, which is annotated with the Pamela, Colleen, Yellow, Pedro, Maya Carras, which indicates the different types of organisms and talk on the data. In order to highlight the areas of financial statement qualification areas that we assess the computer in the financial statements, one of these members can see on the screen, we will be looking at Aston Carras water, the different areas are called Aston Carras as the type of opinion that it was upon that shape. So you will see the total population of all the departments as well as entities of the Pokemon. And the items to understand what each one of the annotations across the page name is at the bottom of each page. I will show you the what I'm doing at the end of the So let's start the picture. I hope the estimate start with this file of organization when we have a question that we need to be in the first place. Coming for the first time to COPA in a few comments. We have to get that the focus of our government continues to be to enable overnight accountability of government and to the area that we are coming in and go through. And to start to put the foundation into what kind of policies that we did over the past year, which we are reporting on. We have always reported to the chair on the three components in our financial statement when we are examining the account of the division that we got it. The first component being to examine the financial statement and as well as to determine whether they achieve the presentation. As well as to whether there is a reliable information that supports the financial statements as they are presented to us as management. The third component that we evaluate in all of the financial statements that we are analyzing and reporting on today is the extent to which the information that has been reported in the annual report can be described as credible and reliable, as well as to assess whether there are no material findings attached to any of the things that are reported in the annual report. We also examine the third component, which is an assessment of the compliance with the legislation that governs particularly financial and performance management matters. So the extent to which any of the departments that we examine, we look also at this third component. And the three of them added together normally come to what we express an opinion at the end of every financial year in the financial statements of any of the institutions we audit. The first category being that which is referred to as clean audit, which is often described in technical terms as unqualified opinion with no findings. That is the type of opinion that we express on financial statements where all three of those elements have been passed with regard to our audit test. Which means that if it's clean and used in as unqualified with no material findings, would refer to those entities that have produced financial statements free of material statements. Those are reported in a manner that is useful and reliable as far as their performance is concerned, as well as those that comply with legislation. So the three components that we test and examine and we conclude on annually on audit results in that opinion is what is called clean. The second category of outcomes that we also focus on is auditees that receive a financially unqualified opinion with findings. This is a situation where so far as the first category of the three areas is concerned, these entities will pass the test because there's no material misstatements that were left in their financial statements. If there were any adjustments that were required to be made during the course of the audit, these would be those that would have processed those adjustments and corrected their financial statements if they were found to be misstated initially. They also have been able to align their performance reports to the predetermined objectives. And the areas in the financial statements of these entities where compliance with legislation was not only in place. So you find that the findings relate largely to issues of deviation from supply chain management issues in small areas. But I think the dominant area will always be supply chain management, which attract the likes of the regular annualized expenditure which are talked about in the ticket of the proposition. There's also a component of qualified opinion, which means these ones not only to say about the laws and procedures governing management of the goal was not part of the test with regard to majority to ensure reports. That would be the category of the third one, which is the qualified opinion. We then have a fourth component as well, which is also of an outcome of the test of those three categories, and other opinion, which is in situations where the financial business process negative audit would have had misstatements in more than one area. If you look at the schedule, for example, you find the schedule where you look under the column of course opinion for 2015-14 and you spot a pebble in terms of what is on the page. The pebbles you look across, you find that there are areas of financial statements that have adopted a qualification and the pebble annotation, which is also the address in this instance. Where you have given an address, it means that there's not just one area that has been qualified, there's more than one. Now, this gave us an opinion on situations where we were not able to find supporting evidence and supporting documentation to substantiate some of the transactions that have been processed in the book. So, now remember, those are five categories of opinions around which my presentation is going to revolve. It is those five areas of opinion on which this schedule of the audit outcome, as we have summarized by department, by identity, will relate to. So, as you go through this, that will be the best basis on which you examine and conclude that one. In terms of the current period that we are reporting on, in total, one looks at the total population of the institutions that we audited, to the extent of about 25% of them have achieved the category of claims in accordance with that definition as well as the test done. Another 51% would be qualified with findings, and those findings are predominantly findings in the six key risk areas that we have identified, which I'm going to talk about in the next slide. As well as a smaller number, at least in that line, which is similar to previous year, of those that attracted a qualification and the similar digit number with regard to the red, which is the address of the disclaimer of opinion. And they were also attending warnings, and these were institutions that were struggling to finalize their reports by the time we analyzed this analysis. So we still have some that have not yet been finally put into here. I'll show the numbers in detail in terms of which ones those are. In fact, we're not scheduled to set out where we have not finalized our audit. There's a letter that indicates the outstanding audit on the schedule attached. When we look at the outcomes of the audit that we have finalized, we also assess the different levels of assurance that we often rely on when we audit. And we say that at the very first instance, the people who are supposed to be implementing the controls that we find not to be in place, hence the audit outcome, are largely witnessed in the first level of assurance, which means that the senior management teams in many of the audits that we looked at have not responded to the commitment they had made to fix and control and correct the controls and the weaknesses that have resulted in qualifications or negative opinions. Following on that, the other level of assurance, which is about the internal audit effectiveness as well as the audit quality, those ones come across as a bit stronger compared to the first level of assurance. However, it's not a sustainable situation because the people who are supposed to be constantly improving the controls in the environment, in management, not audit quality and internal audit. So it's a flag that we want to put so that as the committee looks at its work, it also starts examining the processes in place try and improve the effectiveness of senior management, particularly the supply chain management, CFOs, as well as in some instances. So that is our assessment in terms of where we have the major data of the witnesses that we identified in financial statements. Our assessment one more also looks at the three key drivers of internal control, where we examine the role that leadership in the institutions play in effecting corrective measures in terms of what has been found in audit. To the extent that leadership has been proactive, that is still fairly consistent with what was in place for previous years. So we have not detected any major improvement in that regard. Including the area of improving financial and performance management. This is the area where we look at whether there are any efforts to bring people into financial management positions who have the requisite skills to perform the job, as well as to feel the experience that we've got every year. So the impact and the effectiveness of the financial and performance management component as the key driver of improving controls in the environment is also alert to be not improving. As well as the area of governance, it is clear that the governance, which is both committee and other structures, are very proactive in trying to drive improvement, but they often fail because the actual controls in the department are not getting any better in terms of putting in place the right system to improve the outcomes. We also have the risk areas that we focus on. One of the big ones in terms of what we have found in the audit is the quality of submitted financial statements. As we go through the slides, we'll show what the situation would have been had it not been for the corrections that we put through during the audit. We also demonstrate our supply chain management as well, which is another key focus area in terms of what are the main areas that have caused supply chain management to fit. The details show now almost 1% of them have got good supply chain management systems in place, whereas the balance is serious intervention by pilot as well as some concerns with no significant improvement. We also demonstrate in the human resource management area, information technology area as well, as to what are the key issues that we have raised in terms of the report that we will be looking at today. The root causes for many of the outcomes, we have also concluded once more that a low response really is consistent with our assessment of what the effectiveness of leadership is. The issue of the slow response by management in improving the key controls and addressing the serious areas is one of the root causes that we want to anchor. Another one is also the area of instability in key positions, because when people do not say no in terms of these key financial management and supply chain positions, you often do not get the commitment to implement controls that were committed to the result. As a consequence, for no good performance, the lack of establish makes these outcomes remain almost similar to what they were before. So we would like to anchor also the discussion around whether there is anything that could be done to effect or drive improvement around some of those root causes. As I said, this is the 3-year picture in total in respect of the overall outcomes over the last years. It's almost a similar picture, although there are more institutions now that have achieved a similar corruption audit at least. That is growing, but certainly a different picture in relation to where it was in 2011 and 2012. Although we see the increasing number of those clean audits, we also confirm that the ones that are sitting in the yellow has run when the part of the non-compliance with regulations, including supply chain, is the one that requires a more urgent focus, so that those controls, once they are improved, at least they will result in something better than the yellow, which is currently there. As well as the balance of the ones that are qualified. But then the big focus we are going to look at in terms of what is the environment is, what is it that needs to be done to strengthen the controls that are breaking down, especially in supply chain. And also some of the slides that will illustrate what we mean when we say the significant breakdown in controls is probably what needs to be the major focus, especially in the supply chain management area. If I look at the sector split in terms of the same outcome, we've also said it would be good to look at the large spending sectors in relation to the rest. And we pick up that if one looks at combined education, health, and public works, and this is effectively taking those sectors, both the national as well as the provincial components of them, and putting them together, the kind of outcomes that they got were what we have out there. Quite a lot of them are qualified, there's even an adverse, as well as a significant number in that sector, which is education, health, and public works, have attracted quite a lot of efficiencies and internal control, especially in the area of supply chain. Hence the yellow of the 14, as well as the 14 that were qualified. If you look at the other departments, the more clean audits, if you like, with regards to the rest of the other departments, as well as also quite a number as well in the other who have these deficiencies in control under the yellow. we just been looking at the picture in respect of how it stands out across the country, Chair. This is like a provincial picture where we say, in each of the provinces, if one looks at the PFNA, the PFNA outcomes, which is what we are reporting on this period, for the period in March 2013, 2014, all of them, if one looks at them, they've got a very positive looking outcome in respect of the spread of both minorities in most instances, as well as the category of those that have got unqualified descendants. And if one looks outside them, where the municipalities are placed within the same province, municipalities are the ones that are struggling the most with regard to achieving good outcomes, because there's a spread of quite a lot of purple and red in the area of local government within those provinces. And I think this graph also makes for interesting reading in that you can actually draw some comparisons also between the provinces, because there are certain provinces that look similar in terms of providing. I mean, if I see an example of the outcomes, for example, of the 58 and Mpumalanga, they almost look like they kind of there in terms of what the outcome in the local government versus the outcome in the PFNA environment. And I think so it goes quite a number of them also. In the same category, if one looks at the likes of Northwest and Limpopo, those ones have got a similar profile both in the PFNA and the MFNA. And it might be something, I don't know what it is, but it might be something that would say that if provincial departments, as an example, are able to make inroads in improving their own departmental outcomes, surely those disciplines, if they exist in those provinces, ought to be completed and shared with local government as well, because that would make a difference if those provinces, if they are doing what they are doing, as well as they look, they can also help to create similar sort of disciplines for their municipality. So that's what it's about, what I wanted to say there, but also cognizant of the overall government arrangements and those that are in place. So I thought that we would set this stuff for that goal, so that we can also think about these outcomes in relation to what also happens in the local government here in those particular provinces. And when we look at the departments within my chair, when we look at the 25% overall which has been achieved, we also wanted to also draw attention to the fact that the component of the budget that has attracted the clean audit is the received 15% local, which means that the bars, as you illustrated in that sector, the back of the fence is not achieving the boat on its outcomes, which I think is a matter that needs to be faced as we go forward. So that if we look at the ones that are achieving clean audit, we're also focusing on where are the major offending areas and what are the things that are not happening in accordance with the fire control of those areas. Looking at the three components, shall we also get there's something to say about the fact that all of this population of institutions that we look at, both in all the provinces as well as nationally, quite a lot of them, at least they have the test with regards to the third component, which is economic financial management and financial reporting. Our thing is inflamed by making drawing attention to the next slide after this one. What we're saying is that if I look at those three elements that I started with, which is the financial reporting accuracy level of the data, that's what the picture shows. It shows only that one component. It doesn't show the next two components, which is reporting accuracy, as well as reporting complying with legislation. So this is just the component that is 76% of all of the total of 49 that we got, just 367 of them got unqualified financial statements, the third component they have. So we have in their financial statements that they are reported on. However, the situation that got them to achieve the percentage of 76% was because they were allowed to put through certain corrections during the course of the audit, which is normal. Because an audit is about trying to point out to management that you've made an error here, you've not processed this transaction in accordance with the prescribed accounting rules that apply to it. So the management is alert to the fact that these factual statements are not correct, and they are happy to adjust them in order to provide a fair presentation if one looks at the conclusion that may cause a third category. If management fails to process those adjustments, do we escape qualification? Because in truth, the financial business can decide to prepare now that management has accepted to control the quality. So within that, it has not been that only about
Yeah.
significant number of the department, even though they are calling the financial reporting part to calculate the compliance with legislation, which is critical for promoting transparent reporting, because these are areas where supply chain, among others, is created from. These are areas where the rule around payment of creditors within 30 days are not always kept accepted and all of those kind of things. So we want to also draw attention here to say that this is one area that will help in making sure that the financial management and transparent reporting in the national and provincial departments would improve if they were to be given the priority attention, because things like uncompetitive pink, as we have illustrated in the slide, fall under the category. Things like a lack of contract to our close family members, that kind of conflict of interest, all those things in this area. So there's quite a lot of issues here that prevent achievement of the audits and being present, and the thing that of it could be helped by the certain oversight, both from the proper point of view as well as from the point of view of other oversight institutions. As I said, yeah, as far as the non-compliance of education is concerned, which we look at, particularly when it comes to financial management and promoting, firstly, the quality of audited financial statements. This will help us with the impact of ambiguous in certain areas, as well as the minimum competence requirements not being in place in all areas, which results in financial statements that cannot be relied upon. This also reflects on situations where documentation is not kept accurately in all instances, to a point where, because of lack of documentation, a lot of trouble happens to assess the type of professionals that are required to correct errors in financial statements. As well as the area of unauthorized irregular process of local expenditure, the other one, the matter which we acquired in terms of PFNA to report on, and will illustrate some of the numbers with respect of that category just now. The supply chain management area, as I said, is another component of the non-compliance, which is where the dominant number of departments and entities have not passed the audit test. And the two leading components. All of these tests are for us quite important in getting to the point where at least those two components of financial reporting can be improved. And if I look into the different areas in the supply chain management components, these have been quite a number of the common areas that we found witnesses in non-competitive and unfair procurement processes. And these are situations where the rules clearly say and the policy says this must happen when supply chain processes are handled. And we found those many instances of non-compliance. Those are instances where we have found material findings. And in other areas, we found areas that require to be improved from an internal control perspective. Our two employees, although this is still very similar to what the experience was previously, but still there, as well as some of us, and that detail of those ones will be clearly set out in the main report that will be issued to the department in the conclusion of the process. Going into the components of unauthorized irregular and substantial expenditure, the first component being the unauthorized expenditure. Obviously, this would relate to a situation where expenditure is cash, but there's no corresponding appropriate expenditure along that it. Largely concentrated in terms of the non-contributors to it. To the department of listed, the area of education, health, telco, as well as the department of transport, that those constitute about the bulk of the 2.6 billion in total with regards to unauthorized expenditure. And we've laid an opinion on that with the overpending on budget, so our main section of the budget is that the major reason behind that unauthorized in regular expenditure, members I'm sure would remember earlier in the last few months when the Minister of Public Works was talking about the numbers relating to the regular expenditure within his portfolio. The big portion of that was the effect of the property management trading city, which has got the biggest part of that regular expenditure. It's an accumulated number with the main relation of previous years up to the current period. I'm sure the numbers Minister will talk about somewhere around the and this is the biggest part of the property management trading entity. Another entity that was managing the property portfolio was responsible for rental revenues and all of those things. However, there's also quite a number of other contributors to the regional expenses. potential for the proper management of the entity, and that is something pertaining to which, as well as the history around it, will be clearly set out in its own financial statement. And the balance of it, as well, is largely performing again without competitive bidding or quoting process, is one of the reasons for it. Non-compliance with registration and contract management also contributes to the internal level of that specific individual. As I said, in terms of the sectoral split, the half of it is total and property management entities, and the other is between the development of an office in the center that attracts the bulk of the budget, and the balance of it is with regard to other auditing. And then the fullest and reasonable expenditure, coming down at least in relation to what it was in the previous year. And this is largely a reflection on the inefficient execution of work in more instances, because when that happens and people put claims, then it leads to claims being paid, it leads to litigation costs, it leads to penalties, it leads to interest payments and all of that. So it's a reason to reflect on whether in the department there are people who are trying to make sure that when they are required to pay certain things on due date, they are done contractual agreement with their suppliers, as well as other related matters pertaining to non-performance and so on and so forth. So, but then those are the areas that would have had a large portion of this particular expenditure, education, health, and then defense. just to reinforce the point made earlier, Chair, in regard to the key areas that require specific attention, I've spoken to all six of them. Just to reinforce them all again, because the picture that we have first is, looks as we put it out there, where the continuing threat of the goods on all that we have identified and looked at, as well as the other parts which are obvious to have improvements and interventions required. I've spoken to this already as far as the relevance of internal control. Now, if one looks at the basic controls that we say are important to be considered, even as you prepare for your work at work, the area of effective leadership involvement and leadership implementing the commitments that is made for purposes of audit is at least one of those. The area of human resource capabilities, both in terms of the stability as well as attracting the right level of skills into the respective areas of financial management. The ICT governance and controls, there are still exposures in that area, whose ones need to be constantly looked at, because in an environment where controls are not strong, and the information control environment is also not strong, the vulnerability multiplies, because if someone can access the information control environment remotely and internally not have strong leadership and management control, it is likely that any damage can happen and they can only be picked up further down the line. The implementation timing of the local detection plan, which have been similar over many years with regard to especially the area of compliance and legislation, is one of those that needs more and more attention. The proper record keeping, which allows in many instances and some conclusions being the way they are, because there's no access to some documents to substantiate transactions in a number of areas. The deal and money control, as well as the review and monitoring of the compliance. And in general, it's about when the hearings that take place, at least some monitoring of the activity and compliance of the decisions taken after hearings is probably one of the things that is needed to pay more attention. Just to repeat the point in regards to the three local causes, still raising the slow response, the attachment to slow response to many of these basic controls. A lot of these things are already there in the audit report, it's just taking too long for them to be implemented. The instability and vacancies in key positions, still seizes quite a number of the department and entities, as well as the audit report management. We've highlighted on this one slide what we believe are the immediate action plans that ought to be chosen with regard to the area that we've planned is not so strong, and that is the senior management area, the accounting officers, as well as what ought to happen in the CFO and accounting officer role. So those are the specific actions that we think that oversight would assist in making sure that these recommendations to financial management and internal control systems are implemented. Looking further up, to say that on top of what management does, there are other monitoring and compliance functions like National Treasury, the internal audit function, and audit committee. We need to ensure that at least these basic steps when we are planning the work that has been done to us, and also make specific questions and answers about how effective is that level of oversight in making sure that there is sustained improvement. And the last one, Chair, is with regard to the ONL, insofar as the Africa Tower Committee as well as the portfolio committee, to insist on ensuring that when all these reports come from this level of oversight, that there are really clear actions that are resulting in improvement in the outcome. If these are evaluated in the air, at least there will be some sense in making sure that everybody knows what the risks are coming, so that the risks when they emerge do not only get picked up at the time of reporting on them as a whole, but they are known throughout the year as long as actions have been taken to close them. I think that's the bulk of the web chair that we are prepared to present to yourself today, to paint that overall picture with regard to what is the country breaking and what needs to be done with it. And Chair, as you would have picked up as we're introducing ourselves, the people that were responsible for leading the team that produced the details behind what was given today as the overall what outcome feature for the NEMA portfolios are all here, and I'm sure if they have any specific questions to answer, who is members interested in any of the material that we have provided you today, to clarify the conclusion that we have made, it's not going to be the case of we'll come back to you tomorrow. Everybody is here to deal with all of those questions that we have, and we'll be more than happy to engage.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rob. I suppose this document serves as quite a trick. I suppose because I have gone through it myself, but maybe we'll see if all the team, I'm sure at some point we could take it through maybe one, so that we all have a common interpretation and understanding of all these colors that are there. But I think in the main, the presentation that you made, I will therefore check my comrades if they have any questions clarity to ask, and then we can engage. But thank you very much for the presentation. I think it has gone a long way in giving us a sense of where we are.
If we were to look in the annual report
of the department and NC. Would this issue be highlighted in any detail by yourself? And if that isn't the case, where can we get the detail which leads you to this conclusion? Because you can't simply make a statement like that on the basis of some sort of gut feel. There must be information on which it's based. And I think it's time that we as therapists start looking more closely at those instances. The question of outstanding force, I mean, I see there's some repeat ones, they're very long. I know that I'm asking you to generalize, but is there any way you can give us some kind of comfort about whether these are simply incompetent or deliberate moves to try and prevent you from doing the audit? And of course, the conclusions one can come to. I'm curious about the number of auditees. The number fluctuates year on year, and it fluctuates between flats. If you look at slide 9, and then look at, where's the other one? Slide 20, the number of auditees changes. And I wonder if you could just explain to me why that is. The question of the management letter is a fraught question. When I was involved in the session, a management letter is a confidential document between myself and my client. But in your instance, the management letter, and you yourself have said, is used to move from a qualified order to an unqualified order. So you point out the errors, the auditee then corrects the errors. And there's therefore an improvement in the audit's opinion. And if that is the case, and I believe it is, should then the management letter not be a public document in the case of your auditees who are not Anglo American or the corner grocery store? Because the question of transparency and seeing what is happening in the entities and departments, which would have led to a qualification, and perhaps year on year might lead to a qualification, simply because your staff make it possible for the financial statements to be a fair representation. And of course, your concern about any of the term or whatever, the use of the documents of the reports is a real concern. How do you manage an entity if the reports are still going to take the AG to come along at the end of the year to fix them? I've got a little pet about irregular expenditure. Because irregular is irregular because certain rules haven't been followed, but not necessarily, could be, but not necessarily because of need. Fraud or corruption or anything else. And indeed, perhaps more efficient spending, because I mean, if I open a newspaper and I'm looking for a washing machine and I see James got a special one, and I see it's only for the next day or two, I don't buy it. I don't start a long process of discussions with my wife, my son, you know, is this the right one to buy and where to buy it and so on. But in this case here, very often, a very, very significant and good project is delayed for inordinate numbers of months and sometimes years, simply because the rules say there's a certain practice upon it. What, and I'm being naughty, I'm asking your opinion about whether we've gone too far in an attempt to stop bad practices and corruption with our rules. And as a result, it leads to inefficiency. That's just a little thing. I hope you won't feel that I'm putting you in a corner about it, but that's a very opinion. The question of effective leadership, you highlight it as an issue.
I mean,
the last question. This is the first time we're doing this kind of exercise. It's going to be an interesting
if you start restricting it. You can also, we will say, and on midnight in the industry, the AD is going to think it. The question of effective leadership is one that you raise. But effective leadership is something which isn't political. What, in your opinion, should SCOPA be able to do about effective leadership? You're highlighting it. Do you think we have a role to highlight it together? And that was indeed my last question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm sure you have all the questions noted. Maybe let's come with Boy, let's take you and then get a response. Then I'll come with the
response. No, sorry. We are facing the question of the government that's employee. And of course, South Africans, you know that you do have a responsibility to make sure that the Islam success story. Specifically, as you know, that the national development plan that has been implemented is a vision in the time frame. And if you all try for 2030 to have this type of improvement, how far are we going to now have 20 years of settlement and some of the problems that we carry? What can we do? So our task is ourselves. What the Auditor General said, assessment of PAEC provides some assurance. And SCOPA seems to be one of those. At the last stage, SCOPA seems to be taking the responsibility of being able to fulfill its own responsibility. I want to go to support that, to if ourselves as the public accounts committee doesn't give that assurance, it does leave a little bit of a problem. But who takes the responsibility without asking them, the Auditor General? So it does mean that as COPA we need to do our work quite differently. There is expectation from the Auditor General that we should play our role, and we have been doing that. We have been pushing the resolution. So we don't need the necessary assurance. So we need to be able to do a reflection amongst ourselves that what do we do? As of itself, to make sure that we do assure the Auditor General that we will do our responsibility. The one thing that the issue of vacancies, and when I look at it here, and the way the Minister of Finance has spoken to that level in trying to be able to assist the country to cut down and get some money out of that level. Asking people to follow on that thing to make sure that what the Minister of Finance has proposed, it doesn't seem standing at how big is the problem and how definite about how you deal with it. Can you be able to help us here and help the Minister of Finance to deal with the strengthening his hand on the issue of vacancy? I do know and I've seen the import of the public service commission up now, it also reflects on this level. And key in the own accusation is that it seems to be that it's not in the DG's mind, it's more personal assistance that got more control of the department. How much does that become a problem? How much do you agree with the report coming from the public service commission? Is it what you're coming across? The money does not have what is more generally. The money that or the people that are not performing are pointing at DGs or pointing at those personal or PAs of the different ministers. Are they responsible in the type of environment where you find that there is no proper recording of what is happening within the department? Where has it been really done? So that as proper we should be looking at. Where should we put our finger? Put it on the DG or put it on the person assistant that are coming along with the minister? Where is the responsibility? Or how do you come across that particular problem? Thank you.
All right. May we get a response to a set of questions and then we'll allow the company to follow up later.
one on the outstanding holidays, as well as the classification number of the positive that we are going on to. And I'm going to deal with the rest of the questions. Starting with the one on consequences, the question around the details versus cut view. The conclusion about no consequences arises from the fact that an audit process starts in a particular year with where we ended from the previous time. So if the previous time raised the matter around the lack of adequate competence for the people that are doing financial management roles, when we go back and we pick up the same problems coming out of the same pair of hands, then we conclude that because of no action being taken despite the recommendation made, it means that the absence of consequence for fixing the fact that you've got less than the minimum competence in the CFO position is going to result in the same outcome. So it's not as a way where we articulate and perform the test. It's part of the normal inquiry of an audit, because it's part of the test that we do to check whether the fact that there was an absence of reconciliation for the general ledger account, that's called the account has not been reconciled in the previous year or in the previous 2 years, will result in qualifications as an example in a particular entity. If in the current period, despite the recommendation made by the auditor that the reconciliation must be standard at the end of every period and record and reviewed by senior management and sentence that certifies themselves as the accuracy of numbers. In the absence of that discipline the following year, it means that those people that were charged with acting on that circumstance did not act to be. And therefore we conclude also on that instance that the absolute substance of consequences is exactly the same as it was in the past. And that's where you can come with our practices. So it's not capital, based on direct engagement with the people who are responsible for producing the account, as well as who are responsible for taking commitments 1 year after another. And if they don't do the things they committed to do, we then say, if you don't shift the people who do not have the competence in finance, chances are that your accounts are going to be exactly as they were. That's where you come from with that. So there are a number of instances, and I think if you look at the schedule that we have, where we have first of each audit outcome, for example, if the issue of predetermined objectives has not been done, and the reason for it is because the people are not adequately skilled to do it, and you don't fix it, the following year you will have the same qualification because of that. That's the conclusion that we reach. It's based on inquiry, it's based on observation of the work that we do, it's based on further analysis of everything that we pick up during the audit. Hence, the very thread of an audit is a continuous risk process because we evaluate this on year in, year out, and throughout the audit. And once we look at the root causes that give rise to these issues that are still stuck, we attribute it to the issue of the consequences. Because we are moving from the premise that if you had put somebody with the requisite skill as well as you put the right systems to make sure that financial management disciplines are handled transparently, that consequence, because it means that somebody has now been shifted there, you put somebody that knows the job. And that's why we sort of come to that conclusion. The management letters and correction of error, I think this is a separate the two issues. Management letter is the final letter that communicates the final outcomes of an audit to management of the entity. It's a violent aid and after everything has been finalized, that's what a management letter output in an audit means. The correction of errors in an audit is going to be run for 2 months. Every step of the way during the audit, when there are errors that are identified by the auditors, they are brought to the attention of management, because if you look at the audit report, it says that responsibility for this financial statement is that of management. Our responsibility as auditors is to report on them. So if any error is picked up in the financial statement, it must go back to the person who is responsible for the financial statement to fix it. So the correction of an error in an audit is a fundamental part of an audit, because an audit is about finding whether you have adhered to the system management of proprietary management. And this could be the case finding that you have made a mathematical offense or error of principle, we bring this to their attention. If they correct, it's good for them because they might achieve a representation. If they refuse to correct, then the financial statement will not achieve the representation and then they're qualified. So it's almost to the extent that if I give somebody R1 million to send and they refuse to put it in the financial statement, then the financial statement are qualified. But if I know that they had R1 million and I say to them, put a debit to that account and put a credit to the other account in order to demonstrate that you had R1 million to send, if they agree, then those financial statements are a representation of R1 million that were received as spent. That's what that matter is about. So it's not giving them a brief to move out of unqualified or qualified to unqualified. It is just about doing the right thing that the notice would normally do. So it is the case in private sector auditing, and so it is the case in the web auditing. So it's global principle of auditing. The rate by expenditure. The reason I think we stay put with regard to this area of retail design expenditure. Much of it do not test the intent of the person that incurs the expenditure in audit, so the knowledge is about auditing, finding evidence and proposing not to test what of the intention, because then it requires a different set of discipline. So much of it do not test the intent for the deviation. What we are aware of is that a lot of these deviations happen in an environment that has got a history of basic internal control. And even for that, it can go either way. It can be a genuine error, it can be a not so genuine error. And the reason for it is because you move from the premise that environmentally, in the past, when things like this have happened, they have highlighted significant financial losses, many of which cannot be described as we are then looking up to the people who are providing the oversight to determine for themselves what was the intention behind the error. Because that normally is both a fine highlighting any important error. It is now incumbent upon those that exercise oversight to then determine who maybe an investigation of one kind or another and what the intention was and not when they start getting the real answer. And I think I agree with the set of answers for what the intention behind why a particular level was paid or why a particular invoice was changed. Sometimes you never get to that, but it flowed from many hands. It might have been coming from a different province, from left to right, it might have gone across all the way. Hence we say, when these internal control weaknesses are highlighted, especially in the context of the regionalized country, it is a red flag that needs to be followed up by those that are trying to do that. They can determine whether they are comfortable with the fact that this is just a mere deviation or this is a situation which is exactly right. And clearly, I think the requirement for it to be reported on an annual basis is the extent of it. I would imagine the people that are writing that law would have had a reason for wanting it to be highlighted, particularly the appreciation of the fact that it might be something that could be fixed. For the deviation, so if you're responding to an emergency, but when that issue is highlighted in terms of responding to an emergency, then it is easy for many things to become an emergency. Effective leadership. When we highlight the last slide on the combined assurance model, we are saying that all those levels, the first, the second, and the third level of assurance, if you look at the last slide, the one that got the first level, the second, and the third level. That kind of trying to say that administratively, there are people who have got a task to perform, to supervise and to monitor whether the objectives for which the finances are being spent are being achieved. So the next problem needs to be around here. They just need to be aware that there's an objective for which a particular set of resources was appropriated. Is that particular objective being achieved? Being realized. And there are also people within the leadership of the accounting officer, who are the head of and all of that, who are responsible for making sure that he key programs that they are trying to get driving are the headcount in accordance with the rules that are the house. So all of those people lump into that role of leadership, because we also know the other leadership that approve the budget, as well as monitor the implementation of plans for the budget who are not in portfolio committees and all of that. The employer does not provide the administrative supervisor role, might be providing another oversight role from the other portfolio committees. Hence, we call this a combined assurance model. For each one of those layers, there's what the level of assurance that they need to provide in order to achieve fair, transparent, and accountable financial management. Assurance by scope and related accountability, I think it's a handy matter to focus on, because it's exactly that matter which we need to look at and say, when we exercise the oversight, where that scope exercises, do we focus on all the matters that are critical for turning around the situation in terms of transparency and accountable financial reporting, or are we focusing on a few issues that may not make that much of an impact? And I guess it might be an examination for COBA to focus on. But on our side, there is no shortage of insights with regards to what we have in the examination of the financial records. There's no shortage of insights that we can provide in enhancing the ability of COBA to strengthen the hand in making sure that it provides the required level. And I don't think the reflection on COBA itself is also an appreciation of the fact that certain of the things that own back to the entities that are overseen sometimes never come back timely when implemented or in the process of implemented. And then back to the issue of the vacancies, I have not seen the report in the public information except where it's in a headline about it. And I think perhaps the major focus is to look at the vacancies in so far as the area of finance is concerned, as I said CFO, in so far as the supply chain management role is concerned. Insofar as the role of the head of strategy is concerned, so that those who are the ones that impact on the work that we do. We have not examined the details with regards to who is responsible for it. Is it the PAs that are summoned for and all of that? But I can get Cocker Eugene to comment a bit on that part, together with the two items that we have to thank you.
Thank you, Chair President and Honourable Members. The first question I'm going to respond to is around the outstanding audit, whether this is due to incompetence in the environment or deliberate action from our audit. And I think the best way we can respond to this question is just maybe to, I think, firstly, the general view is that most of these outstanding audits would be due to instances that might have arisen within the audit team in the particular year, like 2014, that might have caused them not to be in a position to either finalize their financial statement or not to be able to respond to all the issues that have been raised during the course of the audit. Or there might be technical matters that arise during the course of the audit where those technical matters need intervention either from the OTC itself or external of OTC. So generally it's not due to any deliberate action to hide information from us. And then maybe to try and sort of guide another in terms of how one can come to that answer is if we go to page two of the schedules that were segregated earlier. And we look at one such department that was outstanding at the time that we finalized this report, which is, eventually dismissed our veterans, is that if you look at that department, it's only the 1314 body report that is outstanding. So in terms of the prior, we recorded our opinion that is reflected there as it having had a double, which means that it was quite bad in the prior. So it's only a problem that pertains to this particular area of any either problem of incompetence or technical issues that have caused the audit to be delayed. With regards to the question of the differences between
our guideline and our slide 20. I think honorable member, I've looked at both of the slides, but if you look at slide 9, we've highlighted that for 13-14, the outstanding audits were 21 in terms of that blue line in the graphic, and we're watching through a total number of entities, which is 129. And I also look at slide 20. We don't make any reference specifically to outstanding audits. I'm not too sure whether the honorable member is looking at the difference in terms of the total audits that we are reporting, where you're reporting to, because if that is the query, is that in slide 9 we're reporting on all the, we're just reflecting all 159 audits that we're reporting to, whereas in slide 20, where we are making a reference and highlighting specifically how those issues perform when it comes to compliance legislation, we only refer to those audits that where we analyze our report. So that's why we're only reporting to 548 audits. And I think the honorable member can raise a follow-up question in that regard if we and the difference is just like the second one, so we're not seeing the difference, but we're happy to. In terms of the year, what we actually do, because we have a handful of data, like in terms of this report that we are presenting here, it's all the audits that we have, the audit reports that we have finalized at the end of all the things. And you probably, if you look at the report that we issued last year, you would have had a similar number of outstanding audits. It's not probably the issue that's been at 20. So if during the course of the year we finalize the budget that we are outstanding at this point when we have completed our general report, so we go back and update our report to indicate what was the outstanding audit opinion. So we don't keep the number of outstanding audits static. So in other words, the figure that we are reflecting in the 13-14 general report reflects just the audits that relate to 12-13 that are still outstanding for a year later. So that fluctuation is expected and it's normal. And I think it also highlights the fact that we don't have in the environment a situation where the total lack of submission of financial statements is a very isolated problem. So over time, developing the entities to catch up in terms of the outstanding financial statements.
If it's a brief follow-up, yes. I can be there. Yeah.
I'm going to ask a few questions. You want to take a few questions? Yes. Give me the unauthorized expenditure. Which you have found that in the picture that some of the records of those unauthorized expenditure have been carried on for years, which quite clearly puts the blame quite clearly on companies, how it's keeping fingers on its own responsibility, the overstructure of capital. How old is this one that you have identified? Or is it like a finger, putting a finger against transport? How long has been that problem going on? I see you've got on special change management. I see brothers and sisters are in last year. They spend amongst themselves. Do we know which department I'm talking about? Are you going to be able to give us a detail? So this is where we need also to be helping to assist them to recover that revenue we have happened because in our interest, I mean, it's good that our close family members, and it seems that it's a technical problem. It's a problem that you can't deal with. But it's over time, you need to be able to deal with that. How big is the problem, and how much money can we recover out of it to be able to assist
you can improve your defining squad. I hear it from the other side, but I didn't hear it from the national treasurer or the ministry. But I tried to say that we have now here to be able to improve by the city. This problem of supply chain management is a problem, and quite clearly, we are feeling under within the skin. How does that happen? And how much is the problem within government? And how many departments are affected?
Right.
right here, we speak about most common areas of non-compliance, sanctioning one. I didn't want you to interrupt the aging in the speech, but I'll just make a clarity on the third one, the supply chain management, where there's in the 2013-2014 outcome, 38%, and in the 2012-2013, 45%. Is that taken to compliance or non-compliance because it's going to improve, but the percentage is a fine algorithm. The final picture of what we do to speak to for second shot would be on these points that have been carried out, and I don't want to really try to subdivision with this question, but I'm going to take it a step back. The year-on-year comparison in which we're doing in terms of the percentages, and of course there is a new entity, the new other ownership in there. Is that taken into account when you do the comparison of improvement and regress at that difference of those owners? And then to say that how many of the new entities that you are auditing, a breakdown of audits for the audits that you have done of departments that have been there previously in the previous year and new audits, because that would have a different picture if they are affected in this year as an improvement because they are new in the non-account activity. So I'll probably have to come back because it was an issue that I wanted to for the issue of the audit, those have not submitted to the outstanding auditors, to say that once those have been audited, the SAPD here, for example, that's a business that is not previously and is currently not submitted, it's quite a big thing for government or finance. What changes can we make for those outstanding audits that submitted? Because it might change the entire picture of which you're sitting here today. It might be increased, it might be improved. When can we expect that a final report? So if we can then get the final picture of what it is that you actually did. But here, the point is once you enter into it, but that to the bottom of the issue.
Okay, we have that mic. Thank you
for questioning. Thanks for the interview presentation. I think that the next element of who's working for this activity that the auditor outcomes are really a great concern. The improvement is not as much as right. And other departments as well But I'll run to ask questions. The same questions have been asked in a different way. And that different way is that what is the main cause? What are the real challenges that you come across as you're dealing with all these accounts or when you audit different departments and municipalities? When the auditor general was presenting, he emphasized that the chunk of the departments that are responsible for like 85% of budget, those are the ones that have got a lot of problems. Is it because there is no capacity? Is it because they are overloaded? And the other thing, in your presentation you also said that the IT departments, when you do the audit, the only platform would be that they were not closed down. What happens to the accounting officer should that happen? Is it a common thing? And which departments are those? So that if there's anything, I think somebody needs to take them responsibility. And because, I guess I've from his presentation that somebody who's supposed to be doing law enforcement is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Who is supposed to be doing law enforcement to make sure that, because the system is in place, but it means that somebody
much as supposed to do. And what is actually doing to make sure that people at the end of the day are accounted to the public sector should be accounting to. And as the auditor general now is in office, how do you help make the system that we make it easy to turn on? To have the system, so the system that they, but what is your role to make sure that they are adhered to and it makes it easy to turn on?
Thank you, Jay. I will be brief. I'd like to come out and give you statements about appreciation of the AP's office. However, and I want to agree with my colleague over there that the wonderful thing about the same teachers and competition is that it's all too long. If it can be, then they do it. And they can't be moved around it. If the type of thing is too, I feel I'm not convinced of the fact that anything's been too bad. But when you have fluctuating numbers, the same teachers, positions can be different. You can win a violation on a 92% poll in Germany, but on a 92% win, it's really going to last in their poll, so it can't be really different about. So that sort of thing is concerning. When I look at these figures, I think about some 6 or 7 or whatever it is, effectively, I don't think we've made an improvement at all. It says that we have an improvement overall, but I think that becomes a percentage issue. Effectively, your main areas of what kind of primary and secondary exchange, you have a total of 31 audits still to become, and that can change percentages as well, quite drastically, depending on that call. And then finally, later on in your presentation, you indicate that there is a massive amount of change that happens when the good people of the AG's office step into a department with their audits and step into a system doing basic accounting function properly. And what concerns me greatly is that I think that the issue you've got here is that with all the best intentions of the AG's office and all the interventions that you bring in a fantastic and wonderful fashion, you've got a major, major capacity problem on the ground. A major capacity problem. And departments are not under automated, departments are under human beings. If those human beings can't be brought to book, because as the AG says, have not performed year after year after year to repeat findings all the time. We have to have a mechanism where we can take agreements to book, or a mechanism where we can make recommendations about massive capacity building. Now, this is now a follow-up to Honourable Lisa's question, is when we ask that question about effective leadership, about people that haven't done their job properly, and I think the crux of his question was, is will we be able to get information as to who actually didn't do it? Because as an oversight committee, we can call people to account. You know, if you're in, we can call anybody in this country to come account to us. Now, will we be given the option meeting? Will you give us information? Will you say, look, there's been effective leadership here. There's been malfeasance here. Essentially, you can call this person. We will call that person, whoever it is, to come and appear in front of us and say, why did you do that? And I think that we have to expose the fact that we've got a massive capacity problem. And I'd love to get AG's opinion whether he agrees with me on that. We've got a massive capacity problem because it's all in good to come once a year and to assist people. But if they can't do it on their own, if your child can't walk across the road on their own, and you have to walk your child across the road every single day, then where's the independence of their child? It's basically a waste of time and it's a waste of resources. So I think we can get a comment on that, and then also clear position on would the AG's office be able to identify key individuals or responsible individuals in responsible departments, and as human beings who work with systems are the person responsible for issues that we can call them here. If we can't get to that point, then we just talk about the problem. We're not actually going to get people in front of us to answer for their actions. So I think if we can just clear the way forward on that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Can we respond to the author's question?
And let me start with the first question that I've raised regarding non-authorized expenditure and how old it is. Well, it has been a feature of the reporting that we have been doing it every year. So we call it the analysis of unauthorized expenditure. inked items where there is no parameters as it's not a confined as you indicated one area, but certainly for this area so far as in the area where it was dominant, the area where the province is really not dominant. The issue around the delay in order hours, when required, I'm sure we should be able to provide the analysis in terms of what the day for terms of what time they are required for this, we will certainly be able to provide that. Coming to the definition of public expenditure, honorable member, my input was to, let me put it this way, I was not defining the irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure definition you had, which is about spending without requisite value. That's what it's about. Because it's not about the duties and all of that. But of course, they are bought and then they are left without being consumed, which was the intention for either. Then it almost can be described as wasteful because nobody has been benefited from the expenditure that gave rise to the duties. In the same context that when somebody has to pay penalties for a particular obligation that they know they must meet by the end of March, and if they don't meet that obligation and they end up paying interest, it's like a driver's license or a car license, if it is not registered on the due date and 2 or 3 months left, the extra money that an owner of the motor vehicle pays in their book is probably the wasteful, because for delaying to pay the license of the vehicle, you end up paying an extra amount, but you want to pay for it. So then you are limited to the cost of the license, not the penalty. So that's why I was saying it is driven by inefficiency, but the definition is still the same as you have heard it from the other people when they say this is the type of expenditure that is incurred for which there is no realized penalty. So that was the main test, is despite the fact that the choice are enforced. The item about the assurance provided by SCOPA and oversight, on our part, we constantly are available to assist in helping in the effectiveness of the assurance provided by SCOPA, and as we are only liaising with the committee, we always do with that objective in mind. But I take the point that there is no doubt a need to enhance that level of RINCA, which I think we have associated with our interactions with SCOPA in the past, and that it is unlikely to be different in the future. I think that when people are called to account, what would strengthen it also is to make sure that the monitoring loop that comes with the accountability of the accounting officer to come back with a substantial improvement plan on matters is probably what we need to be accredited together. Certainly, I think this is a journey as it is as well. A lot of these things are not going to come about quickly because of the ones you've made, honorable members, that is the capacity challenges on the ground. There are many, certainly, but I think the point is to be confirmed that from our side as an office, we are open to this engagement with hope and to continue. I'm going to ask for help with regard to the extent of the consulting expenditure for preparation of financial statements between Suleiman Tane and Eugene. I'm sure by the time I finish, David already would have pulled out what that consolidated figure is in percent of the expenditure for our people who are with the preparation of financial statements. The supply chain management question regarding one of the slides, I think the slide that was talking about the supply chain management division. The supply chain management. The question was around the issue. What we are flagging here in terms of the supply chain is that in the current period, which is 2013-2014, the number of entities that attracted a deviation in supply chain management are less than those that had a similar problem in the previous year. That's the number of entities. So we would say, for example, the combination of 500 entities, so there are about 151 of them this year, that had issues with regard to supply chain management compliance, as compared to Kilian of the 93 of that year. And the comparison of new energy is very much and so on. Eugene, can you also assist with that part of the country and the comparison as well as the impact of new energy? I think what I can say now as an overlay to this question, given that the detail might come later, is that if you look at the additional energies that we would bring onto our list of audits, we do do a completeness test, because one of the factual things we know is that there are somewhere around 40 departments. So that one we can take and say is what all of them. In each of the provinces, we know on average is about 10 to 12 departments, as an example. So we've got a general list and we know when we miss one most of the time. And you find with the entities of the thing. And I guess the reality here is that there's no complete list of all the entities, because some of them get created in provinces and so on and so forth, and they never really get immediately updated on the schedule 3 of the PSMA here that requires whenever there's an entity that is established, it must be listed. But I can assure members that the number of these additional audits that we do is small and negligible, the growth in number, because inside of it, it didn't have a specific idea, or it was created in the period of it was audited by somebody else in the past. And therefore, this current period intends to come to us if it wasn't done by a private auditor, depending on size and all of that. So there will be always a fluctuating number, but you won't find the big number in relation to the local. For example, the outstanding audits. If I look at the outstanding audits, there's 21 of them out of 409 that were audited. The chances are that because the year ends at the end of March, and they've got 2 months to prepare for the audit, which is after the end of May, everybody has got 2 months, not just the others, the 448, everybody has got 2 months to prepare for the audit. And we move from the premise, therefore, that if by the end of May they have not submitted the financial statements, and have not been able to use those financial statements to conclude on them by the end of August, which is 2 months after submission to us, the chances are that they would already have escaped the unqualified position. If one wants to look at what the impact of the penalty is going to be, it's going to be negligible, even if those ones are included. But the chances are that one of the reasons for the delay is because their preparation for the audit had not been up to correction. And are probably still trying to find certain documentation to be able to substantiate certain transactions. The longer the delay, the more remote the chances are that they will get unqualified in more resources. Because why would you sit there instead sort of an investigation when they are accurate and need to be presented for it? So we do make that assumption. Say, chances are that the outstanding 21 are likely to be in the area of qualified and possibly unqualified with some finding. And the history of their house was that hardly ever found any of the outstanding audits coming through to the clean place. But clearly, timely submission and timely production of audit evidence is also directly related to what sort of audit of this is going to get. The main question, the question around the, what are the main causes of these outcomes? I think the multiplicity of things that we have highlighted over the journey that we have been analyzing in financial. One of them has been that when we highlight the weaknesses, for example, in managing and recording and analyzing assets, as an example, in the absence of an asset register, if the commitment to put in place an asset register by management does not get fulfilled, one of the reasons for this financial to be qualified assets is because many of those would not have been complied with the management of assets, for example. When that happens, despite the fact that they were probably set aside to put together an asset register, when that asset register is not in place for a time period that it was promised, the reality that we often see when we make inquiries also in the department is that the people that make that commitment, nothing happens to them when they did not deliver the assets that they committed to. They are still doing that job to interpret the fact that there's still no asset register after 4 or 5 years later. I think that's one of the things that you are emphasizing on this one to say. Wherever there are deviations from internal controls, And the people know that we are in investigation and there is unlikely to be any significant consequence that are attached to me. The chances are that nothing is going to push them to make that situation any different in the absence of something attaching. And by consequence, we are not pushing a view that says get rid of these people who don't understand what they are doing. That's not what we are saying. We are saying there must be some conscious effort to identify what is the stunt causing this control to break down. And if it's about the competence, maybe it's about time to find somebody who has got requisite competence, if we cannot facilitate the training and nurturing and developing the incumbent. Or if the function is too difficult for the people that we have, maybe there's somebody else can provide them for such a cost that we can manage, for example. So those are a combination of things that can be looked at, among others, as a practical example. So we think that the main cause is the fact that the actions are committed to improve the ground control environment do not only translate into a real action arising from the commitment because of living not being over the regular. Now, as in terms of what we could have is, we have identified our role over the last couple of years as we bring through the whole show program and all of that, and said if we can introduce a few control intervention in the environment whereby on a regular basis we engage with the department and entities to appraise ourselves of what it is they are doing on a regular basis with regard to health treatment, that could help in seeing these things upfront before they become a perennial problem at the end of the year. There are certain of the provinces that started on this that have now started producing quarterly accounts for themselves. So that at the end of the third quarter, they examine how has been done in the management of their activity. And our intervention in that regard is going to enhance our intervention with regard to the e-control program so that we can engage directly with them as we do now. To say, let's have a look at your group or your trial balance. Let's talk about what is the rent in the third quarter. What is the rent in the second quarter? So that if there are issues building up in the one cycle before the actual period of the audit, at least we can get them to the people who are supposed to end on them, to be with them from an outside point of view. So there is something that on our side we do. So we don't audit them overly, but we audit them there and say, we think that you have made this commitment and prospect of fixing your control. How far are you going with them? So that's one of the things that we will be enhancing more and more, and we still do some research work on our side, but to make sure that this becomes a feature of our intervention over the next couple of years. To say that these issues that arise during the audit are not new, what actions are being put in place every quarter as the senior monitor is happening. And the issue of the capacity problem on the ground, I think the concern that is certainly for capacity issues, especially one when one looks at the function in certain provinces around the PSA. Occasions largely also by agencies that are extended over a period of time. And you'll find some of the outstanding ones, for example, that probably is up to where you do not have a CFO by the time of the year end. Either because the CFO left and there was a vacancy, or somebody has been put on suspension and all of that. All of those things create this capacity problem. But if the commitment to improve financial outcomes was made with the CFO, but the CFO is not there at the end of the financial year, the department sometimes battle to get someone from externally to come and make sense of what has been happening over the last 12 months from a reporting point of view. So we're doing that in the need to enhance the skills in financial management continually. It's certainly something that needs to be as well as dealing with the issue of driving consequence, non-performance or persistent deviations from controls. I'm going to hand over to James possibly. Help with the staff that I can deal with, especially the staff also around the percentage of actives. But I think the part of it, as I said, will be negligible, even though the movement in the percentage is because of the small number of teams of the new people every year. Thank you.
Thanks. I think instead of maybe just dealing with the question around the use of consultants, as an overall level indicated that we reported in MFA about 700 million rand that was used to obtain a percent from consultants. In PFMA, the figure is around 590 million rand. And with give an qualified opinion after the attendance question and the consultant. With regard to the effect of the new policies, we have really done that analysis, but having looked at the detailed annexures, the detailed annexures that were distributed to the members, they a mixed impact of new entities. Some of them, you see the density in clean oligarchy, while some others have, mostly because of reasons of not having properly established the entity and not having proper systems in place, they either have a negative outcome quantified or the quote unquote outstanding ones. So it's mixed. But we can do for the committee a much more thorough analysis and provide feedback in that regard. I think as the AG has indicated in his response, in that even if we assume that it was all the proper events of the outstanding audits are going to have a worse audit outcome in terms of things to claim, we're still going to be left with 119 audits that are clean in current financial year as opposed to 96. So there is an element of improvement in the environment, as it were. I think I've covered the remaining questions.
No, thank you, Chair. It led me also to join my team. That is in terms of the good work that the AG's office is doing. We will really appreciate it. But I think more on the diagnosis that you have done in terms of the root causes of the problem. Because if we don't deal with the root causes of the problem, we are going to have a recurrence that is on the same thing every year. You indicated at this page, unfortunately it's not numbered, but on the root causes, that the other issue is low response by management. Now, I just want to share that from the AG, whether does it mean that the departments don't need the deadlines, or it is linked to an issue of the capacity in the departments, or they just ignore that in the timeline as may be indicated by the AG's office.
And any other follow-up questions?
Thank you. AG, I hear what you're saying. Since we are South Africans, we have a responsibility and a leadership in our country. And we are ordinary people that have got expectations. So we need to be the truth. And the type of institution that has been created clearly a lot of responsibility. Now, if we deal with the issue of basic skill, we should be able to show what frankly that the skills are not there. But if it was one of the topics that are dealing with that course, not complying with legislation, and dealing the matter of unauthorized expenditure, you must know that it's not about skills. It's about this. There's a particular problem that is there because it seems as if unauthorized expenditure is growing as a problem. As I was concerned, all those sectors are going to go. But I mean that my job, because the colleague is saying here, I'm not able to comply. What the answer is, anyone who stands and have an unauthorized expenditure, ignore the law. Because you are a candidate on the basis of the law, you can't ignore the law. So it can't be blamed on politics. It means that that particular manager is not able to fulfill what they have provided in the law for him to be able to deal with the issue of unauthorized expenditure. It's where I want to get a sense of exactly where does the problem come from and what is the challenge. I'm still not happy when we deal with supply chain management. You see, in a symbol that you're provided, you don't say, you just put that symbol that says you protect it. Quite clearly, we are trying to do more and more collection for revenue. And also trying to see that where does the department not make it possible for us to be able to get something out of the
But if ever we could do business with families, and your percentage is there, I mean, you have made us aware of the problem, is fine. But if you also want to be able to be reflective of where the problem is, and when it is stagnant, it means that there's nothing progress. For how long? Is it a year back? Is it 2 years back? Is it 3 years back? How long has this problem been occurring within the department? And you see, when you say that there's an improvement, still special, I mean, in supply chain management, and you say it's uncompetitive or unfair procurement processes, I look at that thing as a job, and I look at that, say improved, it puts improved. But it's from 71 to 52. What does that imply? What does improvement mean there? This is, as I said to you, a while to go so many members of the employees. It shows stagnant. So it means that as Michael has extended for the past 2 years, or how long does that particular problem go back? You quite so a while to the employees, how long does that particular problem go back? So that if you want and succeed most of what you want in the view that you can really hold up, we need to be more aggressive in how to deal with this particular problem that you have identified. How much helpful will your office be in to me in this particular? I mean, a session from market. I know these whole questions across the board say we need to be a little more harder than what they've been doing in the past. So if this problem that is able to help us to say that how long has it been going from back into the project, quite from an honest point of view of what is the thing to think around the project. Don't let us give us that so we could be able to deal with the project.
And we try and move towards the closure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You see, the time span, the year on year, looking at the problems that carry forward and lack of consequences. And that's fine. I understand the basis of your comments. But my question was, where do I find that detail? And that's why I went on to the management letter. Because I don't find that detail in the annual report in your opinion in there. Your opinion is a very limited opinion in that annual report. There's no detail. And I'm not getting access to the management data, which perhaps, I don't know, may have that kind of detail. Now, if we're going to do our oversight, then there are, and I'll get to numbers of audit fees and not, but there's a huge number, and we cannot question and have hearing for every single audit fee to establish that kind of information. We need some way of finding it quickly and directly to be able to home in and say, why are there no consequences? And I agree with you, we're not talking about the consequences of dismissing people, putting them against the wall, the door, and shooting them. But it's fixing them. And so that really is my concern. I don't know where to look. And I'm probably ignorant, and I am ignorant, I know. And I'm asking for you about, is it in the management data? And if so, can we have copies of them so that we can drill down quickly and easily to do that? Then the question of number of entities is quite difficult because this detailed report is 350 now. So does that mean that there are a lot that aren't on this report? Of the 4, 469, 21. The numbers are not working out for me. I'm not, and I understand about the difference between the two slides. That's quite clear. That's easier. I had flagged it earlier, but I think I'm just raised again. Not again, but I had decided that after the chair's comment about me taking too long to drop it. But let me just raise it now. Slide 24. If you look at the highest contributor, this property management trading and amount of percentage, trade in education amount of percentage, what's the Limpopo
amounts to 2.2 billion and only 4% mean. I'm not sure that I understand those amounts first relative to percentages. Again, it's probably just me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's start from the bottom. Question 524, when the energy deposit, the last question. 524, the total amount of eligible expenditure and cash in the current year is 2.7 as of
rented. Practices and the practice of the guide on slide 22. Let's go back to this slide one.
Honorable Member, right on point, that we have been happy to take that as well so that we can once more clarify this item. On slide 22, the history of unauthorized expenditure goes further into all the years that we have reported on. On the last slide here, you'll see how that unauthorized expenditure has come out. So we've had it 10 years ago, 9 years ago, and where that has come currently. Because there will always be those situations that come out as unauthorized. In certain instances, it will be things like where there was an emergency that was not possible, for example, and suddenly you have to append resources to fix all manner of damage as a result of some flood. So those, all those things are unforeseen and all that. But there will be instances also where expenditure is incurred on items where it ought to have been foreseen that it will be needed. And that kind of practice goes far back into a number of years. It has been, it's not a new thing, it has been there all the years that we've reported on the general report. So if you open our general report over the last 10 years, you will always find the unauthorized expenditure. And that's what we talk about when we say this is persistent, there, it has been there, but the fact that there's nothing that happens to anyone who brings it up, the issue of unauthorized expenditure, the item that we're highlighting about what is unauthorized expenditure. We conclude, therefore, that there is no responsibility among others, and therefore, the fixing of the control that gives rise to the unauthorized expenditure is not going to be given priority attention, for as long as somebody is not being pushed to do it. And the issue that also around the unauthorized expenditure, not remember, I agree with you when you say that it's not just a mere issue of skill. Because the deviation from prescribed controls, now let's put it this way. In any institution, controls are brought about by the leadership and management of the institution. And when they bring about controls in their environment, they are doing it so that they can secure the environment in order for their objectives to be achieved. If the objectives are about delivering 2,500 units of houses, the controls are developed by the people who want to achieve that objective, which is management and leadership. And therefore, it becomes, in our diagnosis, a leadership matter primarily. Because it is leadership that will go and find somebody who has the appropriate skills to the job in the event that the weaknesses are as a result of the policies. If the deviation is as a result of non-compliance by senior management, we also believe that it is leadership of the institution that is able to fix and to change that situation. Because those people in senior positions might have the skills, but might not have the desire and the will to do that which is a implementation of control. And we believe that it has to be a leadership issue, because who else is supposed to make sure that when there is 200 million made available for a particular project, it is spent on that object, transparently reported, and all emphasis that came in that particular item are recorded and articulated as such. So yes, I think there is certainly a big role that must be played by leadership. And hence we think that it is the same leadership that brings about consequences in the event that they do not action. And hence we believe that the highest level of accountability when it comes to this ought to be located at leadership level. The issue about skills is a tactical maneuver in the administrative and government is right. For those are the people who must bring tactics every day to make sure that what must happen has. But the ones who are supposed to see to it, that's the responsibility. And that controls that will see that those resources are being observed, that they are reported on, and that they are evaluated regularly in the leadership function. And that's why it's named the role of leadership, among others, in the driver of internal control, the primary. Because the issue of who does have the skill to put the debits and the credits in the right account can only be evaluated by the person at leadership level, who we assume, because of the role, we have the necessary power and authority take a decision in a way. If a person doesn't perform, they are the ones who will bring about the performance evaluation and help on it. And I think those are the basic disciplines that I like to say here. That when people don't perform their jobs in their functions, then they end up with perpetual outcomes that are negative. We find them still there. We get very wrong when we bring over the lab right here. So we can bring no other conclusion except to say we do not see any evidence of any confidence based on the decisions of the past. And I think that's the essence of what we are trying to communicate across. We have to do this ourselves because our charge in respect of this work is to report on interactive external audit. But the extra bit we go into when we do detailed root cause analysis is to to assist over us, so that we are not your next. We're not the ones who left because it's not our power to hold and highlight this with us. I'm sure the limited information to our patients, the nature and the extent of these issues, we are also committed to provide that additional information when required. So that's the issue of the diagnosis of the root cause. Of the root cause, as well as the attribution to slow response by management. If it were not for 2010-11, which gets concluded and reported on by the 31st of July in 2011, and we speak to management via the management letter, where we highlight the specific deviations and control weaknesses that have been led to a negative outcome. If there's a conversation by the close of books on the 31st of July 2011, in that matter, that management committed to in July 2011, when we come back for 2012 audit and the 2013 audit, that matter is still not acted upon, or that control has not been fixed, we can only arrive at the conclusion that the response of management to a commitment they made is either slow or not. So this is a determination of the root causes. I have considered and looked at multiple years of issues, not just 1 year, but multiple years of issues in that environment, which frequently from a crisis and negative body problem. And for us, we're looking at it today, why has this thing not happened since you committed to it in the last 2 years? Either because of the sample that I've said before who have changed, or the disciplines that are required to be the boss every day that's been before. And we often liken these things and these two things we are talking about in more systems to those that one will find in a bank. When Terra goes and takes money out of the doctor's vault address, they know that they are the last person to see that money when it goes back. They are the ones who must check all the deposit slips and the withdrawal slips and everything else when they transfer money between themselves and the other Terra. They are the ones who must balance those books at the end and take that cash and go and put it under lock and key under somebody's supervision. They don't go alone. Somebody must always be present when they take that money back into the system. So the basic disciplines we're talking about are among others. And I think they can be done because they are about the basic administrative internal controls. And that's where the bulk of the use is, whether they skill or not. But if as the client knows through the way that we highlight in the audit, the management method, the chances are that the path might be different than what
maybe I took advantage to help. But maybe what you said was your fun.
No, I don't think French. I don't dare to read the question.
Oh, okay.
It seems to me like whenever the intervention, the department improves markedly, and that's according to the data that you have given us. In that situation for me, therefore, there's a huge capacity issue in government in terms of financial control and management. And that's what I issued when I read the data. I just want to know if that's what you find, the Secretary General does. The problem is not sometimes more unwillingness to comply, but it's more a capacity issue. That's what
we find
in the department's
work. I think we conclude. Just a quick one from my side. Just to share with you that I have been listening correctly. From what you have said, we only have about 15% of the budget being properly accounted for. The departments that have what we call case audits constitute 15% of the expenditure. The other 85% were all manner of shades of grey around the first point. Second point is that actually our big spend lie in education, health, and public work. And it appears that in those big spends, our
control. I'm not too fresh. I'm not as good as what they're supposed to be. Meaning, I'm putting a lot of money into there where accountability is not exactly at the level where we want it to be. Thirdly, that of the 1.1 billion authorized expenditure, actually, about 50% of it was only discovered through the audit process. The audit team has not disclosed those amounts. Meaning, if you did not do your work diligently, you would sit in an amount of about 500 million, which, of course, is a very bad show on the part of management. Because in terms of the act, the requirement that this will be reported to National Treasury. Fourthly, on the regular expenditure. In the last 3 years, we had 26 billion, then we moved to 27 billion, now we're at 62 billion. Meaning that instances where we do not follow the law or the principles of the law in terms of expenditure, the amount actually increased. I'm not sure about the instances, but I see that currently the instances are about 382,000 instances of transactions that have happened outside the proper prescription. I don't have the slide, I'm not sure whether it's an improvement or it's actually worse. But regulation, and I think the point that needs to be made that if it is regular, it does not necessarily mean that there was something untoward necessarily. It might as well be that there was an emergency and so you had to. But of course, the fact remains that procedures and processes are not there for decoration, they are there to follow. And what you want to see is a continuous decrease in instances of non-compliance. Because I'm sure emergencies don't increase. You become the minimum. But I do remember there was a point that highlighted the fact that in instances where senior managers have a discretion, they always prefer shortcuts rather than to follow the principles. I was actually shocked when you. I thought the use of consultants for preparation of financial statements was a thing of the municipality. To confirm that we still have it at the level of the province and national. Remembering the performance audit on consultants and the hearings that we had and all the talk that was there about the need to really build capacity in the state to be able to do the work that it needs to do. I'm leaving that with the correction of the statement. Because in as much as we say 15% is properly accounted for, it's 15% because there was a second chance to do correct additions and make correct entries. Meaning therefore that reliability of information is always a problem. And if we can't have reliable information, we have a starting point. If we can't have reliable information, then there is very little else we can do. And talk to the issues around basic control that we spoke to as well as the root causes. And I do want to say to my comrades that I think if you look at the annual report, towards the end, there's a section that talks to human resource management, where you're going to get bigger personal cases. Absenteeism for theft, for this, for that, for this. And also the notes to the financial statement where you're paying a regular expenditure. You also get whether there is any action that has been taken against officials that led the incurring of the regular expenditure. That would give you a sense over whether there is any action that has been taken or not. Now, the issue of slowly by management. I'm sure it raises the issues we're discussing, was it yesterday, around the role of the audit committee and internal audit executives in our process of oversight. Because this law is formed, it's not only in relation to the findings of Auditor General, but it's also in relation to the recommendations from the audit committee, which is actually warning management about deficiencies long before the Auditor General comes. And because they are slow, the Auditor General comes and still finds the same problems that have been highlighted to them. And so the question of how do we, as oversight, position the audit committee and how audit in the process of accountability, is the process of trying to understand what are the internal weaknesses that give rise to all the things that the Auditor General is spoken to. I think it will be very, very important for us to look at. I think over the years, the committee has spoken very strongly around the issues of disability of leadership. It has been highlighted, and I'm sure that the committee is one area that we need to continue in. Because if at leadership level, there is no stability, you are unable to develop the appropriate organizational culture in terms of how things must be done. So it is a very important element to consider for one side. Issue for consequence, I think the report from it just needs to go and study it and absorb it and be able to extrapolate for ourselves. What strategic areas or issues does it raise? So that when we do our oversight, we're able to say what which are areas around which we may need to focus on. Areas where sustained focus and intervention can have a ripple effect on many other areas within the institution. I think, Auditor General, from our side, we have just come from a press session and study with looking at our yearly cycle in terms of what we want to do. I think there is every commitment from the committee to its work. And that implies that there were eight of the extent of our work. It can actually be a focus that we want to run away from so that the percentages can actually go up in terms of the extent to which we do our work. But I think from what we have spent, there is commitment to ensure that we do our work to the best of our abilities and in a way that will have a positive impact on how public funds are managed and how they are spent in the best interest of our people. And we have actually allocated time to deal with the performance audit, which we hope your office will be able to produce, so that we're not only say, yes, you have a problem for the client, but we can also check if the value for money is that compliance or is it just marginal compliance, which has no meaning on the service delivery. So I think those are the few observations I wanted to make. Otherwise, I think whatever questions I had been adequately covered from my colleagues. I know there was a question, so you can respond to that one. And check if there's any other question before we wrap it up. But in the meantime, you can respond to your questions and we'll check back if there's any questions.
I want to confirm the point that the honorable member makes regarding the opposition that is in the future and also what then results in improvement after the intervention is a key indication that those that were doing this work for the rest of the 12 months did have capacity to create the direction. And then it also can compound it by the fact that if it doesn't get corrected, it gets worse. So certainly I think you will hit the nail on the head when you talk about the intervention. had the election in the first area is largely part of the process. When during the office you audit, we don't accumulate all the errors and reports, but we give them the opportunity to audit them, which highlights the fact that it has been done with people who want to have a consistent level of knowledge and capacity, it would have had a different outcome. So that is the correct solution. Then we are avoiding the area when we spoke about the capacity problem on the ground in another organization. So that doesn't fit like that. That's one more part of the question that I didn't cover adequately, Chair. When I listened to Honorable Boy on slide 22, referring to the unrelated or unrelated procurement process, the comparison that the Honorable Member made was suggesting that this thing had moved from 71 to 162. This is not a year-on-year comparison. This is just the yellow, for example, if you look at the ledger alongside, compared to the number of institutions that had findings on unmodified and the procurement process, as well as the institutions that had material findings, which are 152. So in fact, for this particular year, it's not going to be the current, just the two categories of findings within that block of unmodified and procurement process. And again, this thing is in the system and has been in our general report every year. Rather than the question of how long and so on. When we talk about this thing being stagnant, we are referring to a situation where either the improvement or the regression, or rather the movement, is the movement between 1 year and another. If the movement between 1 year and another is less than 10%, we classify that as stagnant. But if the improvement, if the change between 1 year and another is more than 10%, that particular item. Let's say, for example, we are looking at unmodified or unfair procurement process. If you look at 2012-2013 and compare 2013-2014, and the movement on the upside is more than 10%, we call that an improvement. If the sliding back is more than 10% on the negative side, we call that a regression. If the change 1 year to the other, is within the 10% change. For example, if you look at last year was 10, and the following year was 12. We call that stagnant because the difference between the 20% and the change is less than 10%. That's the threshold that we have put ourselves so that we can be able to classify something as stagnant, improved or repressed based on that assessment of the extent of change here on here. So those both are the, that's how we get those arrows that we have. When the points are getting better by 10% and more from the previous year. If it's the red going down, it's getting worse by 10% and more compared to last year. Whereas if it's stagnant, it's getting better or less within the 10% range. So that's what that is about.
Just still on the slide, maybe we could explain those two colors. Because when I look at the far right, the one color, the top, states with finding, and then the next one states with material finding. Is that correct? What does that mean? What's the difference between the two expressions?
Thanks, Chaplin. The one that is yellow, which we say is for findings, these are issues that are only sitting in the management report. They are not material enough to be elevated into our report. The ones that are reflected as red, as material findings, so these will be issues that are significant in terms of being able to material criteria that we use as an office for us to elevate them to the audit report. So yellow says there are issues in the environment that if they are not addressed or attended to, may apply to material matters that we might bring to the attention of the public through the report.
Hi,
good
I appreciate what you're saying, but you know, if you go to page 11, we see with audit outcomes. And depending on your culture, is another thing of yellows and things that if you look at the Last of Covenant, can explain what difference. See, what is certainly more is what the chair of the committee is saying. What happens the budget outcome is that you talk to all with the process is 15% of people will be able to account in this country for the money that they have spent. Does this type of amendment deal with the overall performance of government in the province? So that means the final figure is what? Is that 15% going along with all the provinces and national government? That's how much you talk about the government or how bad it is. That is only 15% of people who are qualifying in this country to be able to account for mismanagement. Is it what it is, if you look at this particular matter? Yes. I also wanted to have more, you know, when it comes to this issue of governance, that it will talk to what role the impact should be able to play, looking at the state of provinces in page 36. That in a sense, I mean, you see how public accounts are conducting themselves throughout the country. When it means that there's no assurance from public accounts committees besides OPRA, it is a state of things that public accounts committees are not able, and it's working to this state, to ensure there's no public accounts from that thread. Is that what the state of things are? So I'm just trying to find that if the information is quite clear, but I'm just trying to learn more in this geographical outspread that they've put in front of us. So that if we do comparison in analysis, where should we find it? Is it only about just the government or is it about progress? What does it mean? You see, if you look at that statement that you use there, that symbol, and look at how provinces are constituted, that it means that stagnation has taken place, as I say, in 2012, 2014, or has it taken one for quite some time? This one that I want to understand about these two, I mean, like African appearance that are given us.
And then, I'm now on slide number 11. What we have in slide number 11, as I said, is the outcome of the BFNA five. So the number what we have here, for example, we might look at how then we look at both departments and then the student problems. So they are about 24, 25 total. So that is the data of those departments, including the entities, and Gauteng, which have been observed. Now, if you look at the result for the BFNA, what it means is that the extent to which the BFNA has improved compared to the year 2013 is above 10%, hence that Karen thought of being asked. It means that the accounting and the financial statements that were reported on in Gauteng have improved from where they were in the 2012-18. That's what it means. Although, when we look at Gauteng in the local government, which was put next to it, it also indicates that the comparison for 12-18 as well as 11-12 for the MFNA is also showing an upward improvement. Whereas in the former local government has progressed, which means they have weakened their position of budget outcome to the extent of more than 10%, hence now it's shown down. And that's what we say, but the one who said the 15% that we talked about, which is in the previous slide, the one who said the total allocated expenditure is now in the NTF. I guess the year in France has been about 1.2 trillion. And the total of, and that money is meant to pay for national, provincial, as well as dependence of what goes to local government. So that's the whole cake. That million bears not a million rand. That's the whole thing that we are making. So what is the NTF want to say? If one looks at this now, one looks at the total spread of that cake, that plot is against the time to the percentage of which ones are contributing and which ones are not contributing. That is what the point here when I say
the media that flies into the industry is of billion. Those are the ones that did not actually clean, but these are not mean those are the ones that were clean. I think what are reflected here is that these are the ones that struggled hardly with adhering to the health call. These are the ones that largely impaired the lives of your expenditure and all that. They are also many of them that appear that have achieved unqualified opinion with internal control of life. So this is a total in terms of that whole 1 trillion. If you end up in terms of a trillion in total. So he's saying, if you look at those institutions, the 45% that have achieved it, the money that was sacrificed for them, their budget, but to the extent of 145 billion. But when we look at the number of institutions that have achieved, we also need an appreciation of how much they have compared to those who have not achieved this. But it may mean that when Jen was the transparent opposite and more focus must be given to the ones that have not been impacted. Because then it means that the real expenditure is not being properly handled. So that way there's a point that we can come. And the assessment of the assurance of public accounts committee, again, number of members. When you look at the yellows there, you're looking at public accounts that are functional, that are doing what they are doing, that are meeting to inquire and to have hearings and all of that. But the extent to which the things that they engage on and when the conclusions are being reached, the extent to which they are being implemented and enforced is still the yellow. And that was highlighted by the yellow. Really suggesting that the intention being taken, but it is not resulting in real immediate impact in terms of changes in our outcomes. So we are not really putting a spotlight on other accounts committees or not doing anything. Yeah, it's just that we are flagging the point that they can even do better in enforcing their recommendations as we go forward. Right?
I'm sure the committee will know board, not looking to exact how we ensure that our way of public account committee are coordinated, especially in terms of our areas of focus. What are the issues that we need to be dealing with? How should we be doing our way? So that there is a commonality. And I think it is something that conspired against and were not able to deal with that. But I think we now have an opportunity to try and work around that and see how to synergize our approaches, our focus, and all that, so that we are able to be effective. What the general and the team would like to thank you very much. I think that comrades now have access of the challenge in front of us. So when we start prioritizing next week, we could be doing so with a clear picture of where the challenges lie. When we decide which departments and entities to call, we'll not only have the annual report, but also the additional information from the Auditor General. Comrade Boy and Comrade Kunov, to let you know that we're doing our thing. I think next week we Tuesday and Wednesday to the group prioritizing. The 11th and the 12th is unauthorized extension. It's not process. Then the other day is the group, the 23rd and the 26th, and then the committee will meet to then decide who are we calling when. Then that will be communicated to the agents of the will allow people to go and have Christmas and enjoy New Year, and when they come back, then accountability. Okay, thank you very much.